This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hey everybody, this is Jeff Rappaport reporting for AvWeb. I'm speaking today with Stan Bernstein, president of the Regional Air Cargo Carriers Association, about the pilot shortage and the impact it's having on the regional air cargo industry. Stan, thanks for joining us.
I'm more than happy to join you. Thank you.
Stan, to get us started, give me a little background about your member companies and the regional air cargo industry generally.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. The regional air cargo industry is made up of about 48 contract air carriers that work for the three large integrators in the U.S. and North America, of course, those being FedEx, UPS, and DHL. I think we all know that the FedEx DC-10 or the UPS 767 does not land in small-town America. Of course, they land in the large cities, and it's our members' responsibility to transport all those internet packages that you all buy and move them to the smaller cities throughout the U.S. and hopefully get them there in certain cases where it's a 10:30 a.m. cutoff or in other areas by noon. But our members' fleet average about 800 aircraft are in service every night, Monday through Friday, and delivering those packages outbound as well as inbound to the major hubs for those integrators. And to date, we've been very successful at that. And as everyone is aware, shopping on the internet has become very popular, and hence the number of those small packages just continues to increase.
So tell me about the pilot shortage and how that's affecting your industry. It's something we're hearing a lot about in the news, and as I understand it, your industry is hit harder than other parts of the aviation business.
That's pretty much the case. As one might imagine, flying night in smaller aircraft, smaller turboprop aircraft such as the Beech 1900, the Metro, the Cessna Caravan, would present themselves as the entry-level position for most young pilots aspiring to have a career in the major airlines. Typically, the pilots would arrive at our doorstep at around the 1,200-hour flight mark, fly for 2 or 3 years, and then move on to the majors such as United, Southwest, American, etc. And it's proven to be a very ideal track for them. They gain a lot of responsibility, a lot of experience flying our aircraft at night, helps transition them to airline-type procedures, airline-type flying, and the major airlines look at that as an ideal fit for hiring. So we see quite a few of our pilots go through that process. Unfortunately, as many of you may be aware, in 2010, there was an unfortunate accident with a Colgan Air flight in Buffalo, New York. Congress stepped in, orchestrated some new rules and regulations, changing the flight hour requirements and licensing requirements for new hire pilots before they could move on to the regional jet industry. In other words, they needed to have an AT rating as well as a minimum of 1,500 hours in order to qualify to sit in the right seat of a regional jet. The unfortunate aspect of that is that it raised the bar so high, it has precluded many young people from entering the world of aviation. As you might imagine, college debt is very high today. Add in a full set of flying licenses, and the typical candidate might graduate college entering aviation with a $50,000 or $100,000 loan over them. The regional cargo air cargo industry pays reasonable rates of pay. A pilot in his first year might average $35,000 to $40,000. Beyond that, they move up to the $60,000, $65,000 range in a couple of years. But even at that, it still has not proven to be attractive enough to entice young people to return to aviation due to the extreme cost of the training and, as they view it, the lack of income to offset that enormous debt. So we're in a bit of a predicament. Our members are still flying their schedules. Unfortunately, it's requiring some creative approaches to those schedules in terms of management steps in periodically to fly. From time to time, we might combine flights, but we're pretty much holding on to the schedule, but they're not doing it with the depth of reserve that we would like to see. And certainly, we'd like to see more people entering the field and the candidates increasing as time goes on. But if one were to look at the pipeline, it does not look promising from at this point.
What does the pilot shortage look like on the hiring side? Is pretty much everyone with the pulsing ATP minimums getting hired these days, or is it still staying pretty selective for entry-level jobs?
Well, I have to tell you that the file drawers of all of our county filled with resumes are no longer. Needless to say, every candidate that presents himself with the minimum licensing requirements is reviewed carefully. In some cases, we're willing to offer some additional training to help a young person get through the Check Ride program. But, of course, we still maintain our very strict safety standards and our criteria for selection. But as I pointed out before, the number of candidates applying has declined. But that's not to say that those that do apply, even if they are a little short on time or might need a little polishing up, our members are more than happy to provide that additional push to get them through. But again, it's important to note that at no time are we willing to let the guard down on our safety standards along the way.
Of course. Do you or your industry have any proposals for solving the issue, the shortage going forward?
Well, what we're trying to do is we've tried to work with the FAA, but unfortunately the FAA has been handed a mandate by Congress. So the FAA has very little wiggle room in terms of providing some relief along the way for the pilot hires. The real change that has to take place is at Capitol Hill. We would like to sit down with members of Congress, let them make them more aware of what's going on. I think they're already aware of it through the Regional Airline Association, through RACA and other organizations that have made it very clear to them that the future pilot supply is drying up rapidly. Certainly the military has made it very clear to Capitol Hill that the military pilots are jumping ship as soon as they get to 1,500 hours, leaving the military and moving on to the airlines, leaving a tremendous void in the military. I've heard that the military is short from 700 to 1,000 pilots at this point, and Congress has to recognize that with the current restrictions that are in place for new pilot hiring, unless something is done, the military will be short, regional passenger airlines will be short, and regional cargo airlines will have difficulty meeting their mission. Congress needs to sit down and look at the current law as it exists and sit down with industry and FAA, and we all need to come up with a proposed solution that would make all of us happy. And again, that's not saying that we want to lower the safety standards, but we want to make the pilot position a practical one, and not one that is beyond the reach of any young people that are aspiring to have a career in aviation.
Stan, the FAA reports the number of people holding ATPs and valid medicals has grown about 3,000 per year since 2011, which is about 2% growth. Where is your sense of where these pilots are going? What's the structural issue driving the pilot shortage if the numbers of ATPs seem to be on a healthy climb? Or is 2% not enough?
Well, it's really how you count the numbers. It's a little bit of fuzzy math there. If one were to understand that this is not an increase in pilots, but this is a requirement from the 2010 legislation that requires first officers on regional jets to obtain an ATP. So the same pilot before that had a commercial license is now required to have an ATP, and henceforth the increase of the number of ATPs, but not the increase in number of pilots. So again, one has to understand that while ATPs are increasing, the number of pilots are not.
So the relevant metric is the combined number of ATPs and commercials, is what you're saying.
That would be a more realistic way of looking at it. And of course, another realistic way to look at the situation would be to look at student starts and the decline that has taken place there.
Stan, thanks again for joining us.
Well, I'm more than happy to do it, and if anyone has any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them via email.
This is Jeff Rappaport reporting for AvWeb. We've been speaking with Stan Bernstein, president of the Regional Air Cargo Carriers Association.